Yeah, it is something for us to be focused on, and sometimes we can get our minds off of it into the day-to-day activities, our jobs, the things that we do, the things that are going on, that we can lose focus on sometimes on, you know, where we're going, what God wants us to be doing, what His true desire is to be, for us to become one, you know, to be living His way of life, for us to be focused on Him and His mindset and the family that He's creating and all the things that we need to be doing. It's not just one thing. It's a number of things that are applied in this Bible that we need to be doing. And we have this devil. We have Satan. And there's a lot of people in this world don't even believe in him, or they just believe he's just a little red man with a pitchfork and can't do much, and it's either you live this way or you live that way. But we know, we are to know, that Satan is the great deceiver. You know, it's interesting that in Christianity, you know, that they can believe that the law is done away with. You know, yes, when God calls us and He pardons us of our sins, as we accept that calling and understand that we are sinners, that our sins need to be forgiven, and it's only through His blood that that can happen, as we are called and we are baptized and we receive the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to grow, to change, to overcome, that we can understand that His law needs to be kept. You know, I think in society, most people can understand that if you were murdered someone, put in jail, you were put in jail because you committed, you broke a law, you violated a law. And the only way that you're going to get out is to serve your time, or the governor pardons you. But if you're pardoned or you get out of jail because you broke the law, and if you're pardoned and you get out, we look at in society, we understand and know that you're not going to get out of jail and be able to go and murder again and not go to jail again. I mean, we know that we are to keep the law. But in Christianity, most beliefs is like, oh, you don't have to keep the law. You know, the law has been done away with. But parallel that with society, and it's like Satan is the great deceiver. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And remember and know that we are called to understand truth. We are called to know truth, to understand truth, and to apply truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the writer goes, here in verse 1 says, therefore, since we have this ministry, since we have this calling, and we understand the plan of salvation, and brethren, we should understand the plan of salvation, what it is. And if we don't, by the end of this message, I'm going to give you some simple things that can help us to get us back on track. But it says here that we have this ministry as we have received mercy. We've received this mercy from God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. They didn't sin against us. And yet, the Father allowed His Son to die for us, to set an example. That, you know what, I'm willing to die for your sins. Even though I never sinned against you, I'm going to die for you. That is loving mercy. They set the example for us what we need to be. So we understand this plan of salvation, what God is doing for all mankind, but in different stages. He says, we understand this, and we do not lose heart. And I want to read verse 2 from the NIV. It says right here, it says, we reject. And it's not just the writer, but it's talking about those who Christ is calling. You know, this I believe the writer is Paul. He's a minister of God. He loves God. He loves the brethren. He says, we reject all shameful deeds. Not just some, but he says, we reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God in prayer. And all who are honest know this. Then verse 3, go back to King James. But even if our gospel is veiled. So if this gospel, this understanding is veiled, it's only going to be veiled to those who are perishing at this present time. Whose minds, the god of this age, talking about Satan the devil, has blinded because they do not believe. They've not been called, or they've been called, and they still practice unrighteousness. They do not believe. If they did believe and they did understand the calling, it says the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, it would shine on them. They would understand and they would know how to apply his ways. For we do not preach ourselves. We don't preach our words. It's not about us. It's not our message. But it's Christ, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants. He's saying, we are your bondservants. We're here to die for you if need be. They have that zealousness. They have that zeal. They have that in their hearts. He's saying, we, those of that mindset, are willing to do whatever it takes to give of themselves to serve others. That's their whole being. That's who they've become. And that comes from God. And it only can come from God. And we do this for Christ Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Those are the examples of human beings. To shine in darkness. To be 180 degrees different than the world. 180 degrees different. Who has shone in our hearts. It has become us. It has become in our minds. It's become who we are to give the light of the knowledge. Not just to understand what we need to be doing, but are we applying it? As we heard in the first message, we can have all the knowledge, all the understanding, we can memorize things, but if we're not applying it, it doesn't become us. It needs to be in our heart. We need to be applying the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's just a reminder of what we have committed ourselves to be and how we are to be living. Before we were called, we grew up in the world, we learned the world's ways, how we were to live. But when we come into the truth, we're to come out of the world and we are to unlearn the ways of the world if we are to learn and apply God's ways. We can't carry it in to the church, into our lives. Our ability to be able to learn depends on our ability to be able to unlearn. We have to unlearn all the concepts, all the ways of Satan the devil. He's the god of this age. We are not protected from his influences. They're there. Jesus Christ was also tempted. We are protected in overcoming Satan, but we must choose. Satan is going to be there doing whatever he can to attack us. In this society, in this world, there is no godly understanding. We can't look at other religions, can't look at other individuals who have not been called and surrendered to Jesus Christ, who've understood his way of life by the calling of God and understanding the scriptures. They still are swayed 100% by Satan. Even if they go to church on Sunday, even if they go to church on Saturday. What people search in this world, whatever they're searching for success, the things of this world today that everyone is searching for and seeking every day is going to be bringing death at the end of this age. It's all going to be burned up. Everyone's thoughts, ideas, how to get it, what they're doing, it's all going to be burned up. It's all from Satan, the devil. It's his influences. They're not God's ways. What our society is set up on, what we're doing, how we do it, it's not of God. We must understand that. So today, let's examine what our values are. What is our mindset? And let's see if it's based on the Word of God, because that's what it needs to be on. Today, I hope we can, for those of us who are on track, can stay on track. We can be encouraged for those of us who've fallen off, and we can get back on track. The title I've titled this message is Learning to Become More Like God. That's what we've been called to be, to know, to do, to come out of society and to come to become more like God. I mean, we have these, when we come out of the world, we're coming into this, we're hearing this new truth, we're growing. We heard Mr. Kennedy being in the church for 29 years. And we've all been here at different lengths of time, but when we come into the church, we have these preconceived ideas, this mindset, and we hear truth, and it's like, what? Sometimes it's hard for us to grasp it and to understand it because we have these preconceived ideas that have been instilled into us through the teachings, through our parents or whoever, but it's influences of Satan. And we cannot seem to understand the new truth or to even apply it. It's like, it's because we're still holding on to these preconceived ideas. We have this certain understanding. And then when something new comes along, it's like it's hard to grasp it. But through that process, we have to learn to unlearn those preceived ideas because it's come from Satan, the devil. You know, we don't need to turn there, but Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says that if we know the truth, if we know the truth and we don't apply it, we're suppressing it. We're not living it. We're suppressing it. And then you can drop down verse 25, then we're believing, we're focusing on ourselves, we're not applying God's way of life, it's all about us, and we've fallen into believing the lie. And then we think we're okay. We think we're okay. We become serving ourselves. We're not really focused on serving others. We don't become like what Paul was saying, that we have become bondservants to you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he's opened us up to give us a different mindset, to understand his knowledge and to be able to apply that knowledge. So to become like God, we have to be unlearning Satan's influences. So how do we do that? I have 2 points. Point number one is we need to be searching for the truth of God. I mean, that is very vital and our calling, searching for the truth and desiring to know the truth. And it's becoming self-aware in all that we do, in the words that we say, and the way that we use them, and how we apply them. Are they pleasing to God? I want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul brings this out. About this knowledge. That our, from the understanding that we've got through this Bible, and the teachings that we've learned, are we using that knowledge? Just because Paul is saying knowledge puffs up if we're not applying it. He talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. He says, now concerning things offered to idols. Okay, so this is concerning things offered to idols. Not everyone believes the same thing. And God is saying it doesn't matter if you eat that meat that's offered to an idol, but some people say, well, I'm going to be offended if I eat that. They don't have the understanding. So Paul is saying, hey, there's a lot of different knowledge here concerning things being offered to idols. We know that we all have knowledge. We all have a different understanding about this. We know that there's one God. He's the only God to be served. So if someone wants to offer meat from an idol, it's like it's not God. But some people believe, I don't want to eat that meat. Some people believe, it doesn't matter. Some people say, I'd be offended in that. So he's saying everyone has a different type of knowledge and understanding. But this knowledge will puff up if I, you know what? What? You believe that? Another member in the church. We're saying, we're not kind. We're not merciful. We're not showing compassion. We can say, well, I know this, and I know that, and I know this. I've memorized this. I'm doing this. But if we're not applying it, what Paul is saying here, it puffs up. We all know that we all know that we have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. It puffs up. We can read all the different types of knowledge in the Bible, but if we're not applying it, we're just pointing it out, it puffs up. It's vain. It's prideful. But love, compassion, kindness, applying knowledge that edifies, being compassionate for someone's maybe not quite understanding. You go to the bottom of the book, Paul says, hey, I won't do this and I won't do that if that's going to offend someone. It's knowing what to say, how to say it, when to say it, how to apply it. So if we value what we know, but we don't apply it, that puffs up. That's knowledge not put into practice. We need to be aware of these words in the Bible. Because these words in the Bible are words in the Bible that we are to be applying in our lives. Because most of us know a lot of these words. Question is, are we applying them? These words are for us to apply in our lives. But we have preconceived ideas, and we read over these things, and then we don't apply them. Let's do a test. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Just to give you that thought process. That, remember, the things of the world, the successes of the world, the things that people are pursuing, it's all going to be burned up. And if we are trying to apply that into our lives, we're going to be burned up. Godly principles, his application does not, we look at it and it's like, what? I can't be successful in this life if I apply that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. I mean, these are preconceived ideas that we have coming into the church. Like, what? Let's read it. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, the influences of Satan, that is not even registered in the Bible that that's how it is. The scribes and the Pharisees had twisted that. But he says, Christ is saying, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So you've had this preconceived idea influenced by Satan. But he says, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Do we immediately do that? Do we immediately turn the other cheek? Or do we have a preconceived idea that, well, what'd you just do? Is it in our mindset to immediately turn the other cheek? We have the knowledge. We probably even memorized this. But are we applying it? We just read in 2 Corinthians of Paul, the writer of the ministry, of what, how we're supposed to be applying and living. Verse 40, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. So if someone wants to sue us, is our first response to say, oh, okay, how much is it? Oh, and here's my coat also. If we apply these things, we're going to go broke in our own mindset, in our own understanding, in our preconceived ideas. I mean, we know this. But the question is, are we applying it? Is that what comes to our mind? Is that our mindset? It needs to be our mindset. And but we have to stop and think. Of and by ourselves, I'm not going to give you that money and my coat also and something extra. I'm not going to turn my cheek immediately to the other cheek. We don't want to do that, do we? We of and by ourselves don't want to do that. Also says, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. So if someone knocks on your door and says, hey, and they're trying to twist you, hey, I need some help. They're taking you away from your job, taking you away from your family. It says, do it, but not only just do it for 1 mile, even do more. I mean, that is not our nature, is it? But that's what God wants us to have. That's what God wants us to be. He says, also give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. So if you come and ask for something from me today, are we willing to give? Is it our mindset? Are we willing to give? Are we willing to share? Are we holding on to our physical assets? Are we holding? We have these preconceived ideas. It's like, wow, I'm not going to give that up. We understand and we hear the Bible and its knowledge, but the question is, are we applying it? Point number one is, we need to be searching for the truth of God. You have heard, verse 43, you have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Doesn't say that in the Bible. Doesn't say that in the Old Testament. But it's been twisted through the scribes and Pharisees, through the influence of Satan. Christ is saying, you have heard that this was said. But I say to you, love those who hate your guts. Love them. Does that come into our mindset that we love those? When we come out of the world, I mean, it's hard to love your enemies. It's hard to love those who hate your guts. But we're searching for the truth, right? We're not just memorizing the words. We need to be applying these words. But I say to you, love those who hate your guts. Bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you. and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? So that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. This is who we need to become. He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God is kind to everyone. Whether they come to church or not. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, which we are to be doing, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? He says, therefore you shall be perfect, or you shall be complete. God wants us complete, just as your Father in heaven is complete, just as he is perfect. He wants us to become like him. If we want to be a part of the God family, we can't just know these words. They must be in us. It must be who we are. We are to love others apart from how we are treated. It is a difficult thing for us to understand, to wrap our minds around. Question is, there's nothing wrong with struggling with that. There is a beginning of godly wisdom, but we need to be applying this knowledge and developing it so it becomes who we are. How is that done? Point number two. We must recognize the difficulty of this, of applying his knowledge. So we must recognize the difficulty and we must ask for his help. We don't need to turn there unless you want to. But God needs to reveal this to us. It's only he alone can do. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, the heart, our mind, it's influenced by Satan the devil. The heart, without God's intervention, it says the heart is deceitful above all things. We need to understand that. Our heart, left in sin, is deceitful above all things. If we're still holding on to sin, if we're not changing, not trying to apply godly knowledge in our lives, we are deceived. It says, who can know it? We can't. Verse 10 says, God can. But I, the Lord, I am the one who search all hearts, and I examine those secret motives. We're loaded with sin, brethren. God has to open us up. He has to do the work. I give all people their due rewards, he goes on to say, according to what their actions deserve. God's Spirit in us. It's God's Spirit in us that can change us. Nothing else can. We must be applying that knowledge. It involves Him searching our hearts and showing us who we are. Philippians 2:13 says, for God is working in you, Paul says, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. He wants to change our will. If we allow Him to open our hearts and help us to see, and we desire to change, He will change our will to His will. Remember that quote that Jesus Christ said? John 5:30 says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. I can make judgments. I can do things. I can understand. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment, the things that I say, the things that I do, it's righteous. Why? Because I do not seek my own will, but I seek the will of my Father, the one who sent me. The one who sent me to be a bondservant to all of us, to die for us, to give to us, who set the example that that's who he was and he loved it. That's what God wants us to be. He wants to overcome these preceived ideas influenced by Satan. So if we're not seeking God's righteousness, if we're not seeking his will, we have this righteous disconnect. We're disconnected. We think we're okay. We think we're fine. We're doing these things. I understand these things in the Bible. I have this knowledge. I know I'm supposed to be here, keep the holy days, etc., etc. I have all this. But we must be overcoming. We have to overcome the evil one. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Can we be asking ourselves, are we hypocrites? Because we ask ourselves, what is missing in my life that I know that I'm supposed to be doing and I'm not doing? If we know we're supposed to be doing something, that living, and we search the Word of God, right, and we know we're supposed to be doing something and we're not applying it, we are hypocrites. It's important that we allow God to open our hearts. It's important that we allow him to lead us. And we pray for that. We seek his truth and we ask to be guided by it. We ask him to help us to become like him. It's not just going to happen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Do we have conflict in our lives? Worry in our lives? Issues that we can't seem to grasp? Always stressed out? God says, let us therefore be diligent to enter a rest. You think, well, let's read on here. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Or the King James would say unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. We know, we understand the knowledge, but are we applying it? For the Word of God is living and powerful. God created everything that is. He created us. He's given us everything. He's given us his mind at this time. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow. He can search us. He knows who we are. You think we're kidding him? We're not. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows. Are we trying to fool him? Are we trying to live his way of life? He said, there is no creature, talking about those who are converted, those who've been called and accepted that calling, says there is no creature hidden from his sight. He knows. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So if we are yielding to him, if we are desiring to apply his knowledge, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Let's hold fast to our calling and not give in to temptation. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He understands our weaknesses. He understands. But again, we know that God is our strength. And that we need to recognize that it's difficult for us, and then we need to ask for his help. And Jesus Christ was tempted, but was in all points tempted just as we are. Satan is there, jabbing, doing whatever he can. He's there. He wants us to hold on to his concepts, his ways. He wants us to be confused and not, oh, you can't do that. You won't be successful in this life if you do that. He wants us to know it, but he doesn't want us to live it. Since we've been called. Oh, just knowing it is good enough, he says. But no, he says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, to God's graciousness, to all that he offers in wanting to build a family, that we may obtain his mercy. Because we're sinners. We need his mercy. And we need to extend that mercy. We need to apply that knowledge that he's revealing to us to others. And then we can find grace to help in time of need. It's an amazing thing. We are to be examining who we are. Paul talks about the conflicts in the past, in the church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he talks about individuals who are suing one another in the church. Is that God's mindset? Paul says, as he addresses it, he addresses the church, why not, he says, why not accept to be wrong? Why do you still hold on to your preconceived ideas? Why won't you allow God to open up your hearts to help you see who you are, that you're evil, wretched? Why won't you take a loss? That's what he says. Why do this? We need to be comparing everything with the truth. We need to be comparing everything with the truth. Analyzing. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says that we are to prove all things through his word. And what is his word? His word is truth. And the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us to all truth if we allow it. And it's only that renewed mind that can lead us. It's the renewed mind that can lead us. So we must allow his Holy Spirit to reside in us. 1 Timothy 1:5 says that this process starts with the basics. The basic understanding. It starts with a pure heart. It starts as we're baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. A pure heart. And then we grow in this love. It comes with a good conscience. So we're able to talk about it. To express it. In sincere faith of the truth. We develop it from him. He's recreating us to have a different mindset. And through this process, his love convicts us. His passion fills us. And we trust in him. Philippians chapter 1 tells us that we need to put this knowledge in here in the Bible, that we need to put it to use. Philippians chapter 1 verse 8, verse 8 through 11 says, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all, how I long you, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. I long for you to have the affection, that same affection that Jesus Christ has. I long for you to have it. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more, that we can grow in this love. I pray that this love will still abound in you. And more in knowledge, applying that knowledge and having all discernment. And if we have that, then you may approve the things, verse 11, that are excellent. If we are applying that and striving to live that and having this discernment, then it says that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Yeah, we're going to be offended. And when we offend someone and someone brings it to us, it's like, oh, thank you for showing me that. I didn't see that. That's a godly mindset. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. So the question is, do we want to tear down these strongholds? Do we want to be searching for the truth? We've been called. We agreed to that in our calling. Do we want God's nature to be our nature? Then everything we do, everything we say, everything we hear needs to be under examination. It needs to be under examination. And we need to bring every thought into examination through the Word of God. Let's close over in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's who we are to become. It needs to become us. No second thought. And then so we have this knowledge. Verse 17, but whoever has this world's goods. Okay, so you understand that this process, if you have this world's goods and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Okay, so you understand this knowledge that we're supposed to be loving and caring and serving and giving and applying, whether it be our time or financially or whatever it is. Oh, we know it, but we're not really doing it. Well, how can we have the love of God? How can we, without another thought, become like him and have that type of love that is required? Brethren, it's required. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue. Let's not just say it. Let's not just understand that we have this knowledge. But in deed and in truth, we must be applying this knowledge. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. We've opened up. We're praying to God. I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Open me up. Search me. I need help. I can't change. I want to be like you. But if our heart condemns us, if we are lacking, and we see that we need help, and we're repenting, then God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. So we're seeking repentance. We're seeking to become more like him. We have this confidence. We trust in him that he is going to fulfill his words in us. And whatever we ask, so at this point, we have a different mindset. What are we asking for? But whatever we ask, we receive from him because we want this way of life. Our desire is to be opened up. Our desire is to live his way of life. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We obey him. We keep his law. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. We search for truth. We're searching for truth so that we can apply it, so we can have his mindset and love one another as he gave us commandment to do. So brethren, let's be asking God to be searching our hearts so that we can come to that understanding that the ways of this world are not to be our ways, that the teachings of this world, that we can unlearn them, that we can grasp this calling with our whole heart, our whole being, with God's help. And through this process, we can learn and to apply becoming more like God in all that we do.